Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's episode of What the Health Just Happened, where we talk about all things healthcare, community, business, and life. The goods, the bads, the ups, the downs, the lefts, the rights, and everything in between. We are so fortunate to have on a variety of guests way smarter than we are, including today's guest. I thought about this. I would say LinkedIn legend for sure, and now founder of Tillerson Consulting Group. We might talk about Red Flag Hero. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Sims Tillerson. This man flew in town from South Carolina, picked him up from the airport. Let's party.
And
let's
boy, go. Are my arms.
Oh, yes. Right off the bat, a lame dad joke. Man, we should have wrote some down. Sims, welcome to Jacksonville. Tell me a story.
Joey's snapping, picks up me through the window.
Oh, Joey Jansen's nice. In the background.
Paparazzi.
So
throwing me off my game.
You are one of a few guests that have come in town to join us. I'm excited. We've been connected on LinkedIn forever. You put out hysterical content. You do dabble in employee benefits, that world, right? But you're not a broker, consultant. You don't have to deal with all the BS that comes with it. What are you doing right now?
Yeah, so I'm, like you said, running Tillerson Consulting Group full-time as of about 2 months ago. And what I'm doing is I'm retained by a couple of brokerages and vendors in the EB space to advise and run their go-to-market strategy.
Pause that. What does EB stand for, Trey?
Electronic something? I don't know.
Employee benefits.
Oh, my
that's
God.
That's what 212 does.
Hey, that's
idiot.
Why I'm here, dude.
So,
good start.
All right, I'll cut off the acronyms.
No. I love it. That's why it's great. So you're working with brokers, consultants, continue. Sorry to cut you off.
And so I'm retained by a few wonderful companies to do that. But when I'm not doing that, I'm dropping in to coach teams and coach individual sellers, either at brokerages or vendor solutions, on modern sales tactics, including social sales, but also cold calling, cold emailing, direct drops, door knocking, all the good stuff to get new business.
How do you feel about cold calling?
I think it has its place. It's not the only thing that I would run, but it has a place in most of the sequences that I create.
What's your thoughts? I mean, again, what's the place that it has? Because I have thoughts too. I'm just curious how you feel about it.
So I use it as a follow-up. So if I do a direct mail or a direct drop, as soon as I know that my prospect has whatever I dropped off for him, I'm going to cold call. Then I'm going to leave a voicemail. Then I'm going to send an email. But I'm rarely cold calling first right out of the gate. I'm going to start with direct mail, a cold email, or with one of my video messages and social sales plays.
This might be most of the conversation. I love sales, right? We're all in sales in some capacity. I have my thoughts on cold calling. So these things too, like you're sending a cold email. What are you dropping off? What are you mailing potential prospects?
So I do like weird stuff.
Yeah, let's get weird.
So like I run a play that my buddy Dale Dupree
love that dude
created
stuff.
Like the crumpled letter play I run all the time, and the impetus of this is you write a sales pitch, and in the bottom of the crumpled letter you're like, hey, I know you're gonna throw this away anyway, so when I crumpled it up for you. So I do that. I've done like I'm working on the CEO of a big brokerage, and he left a funny comment on one of my posts yesterday. I DM'd him and was like, funniest comment of the day on LinkedIn. And he's like, I love that. So I made him a trophy that says funniest comment of the day on LinkedIn and just shipped it to him, and he'll get it tomorrow. But my whole goal with outreach is to remind my prospect that I'm a human, but that I also know that they're human. Their time matters. Mm. And I'm proud of the outreach I put my name on. So I want it to be creative. I want it to make people feel something.
Very creative, everything you do. Go ahead, Trey.
How often would those interactions through the DMs, you mentioned probably like text or you're sending a trophy, how often would it be like an actual video response to that particular potential client or whoever you were outreaching?
Yeah, so when my primary outreach method is video DMs.
Love it.
That's my fastball.
Like on your phone, like, hey.
Straight to LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Straight to LinkedIn on my phone. I ran a workshop in Anaheim for some brokers a couple of weeks ago. We ripped off some live, and it was a blast. But
we should send a DM live while we're recording this to a prospect.
I mean, we can.
Not a bad idea.
So save it. But
it's authentic, man.
I mean, we can.
Get any more authentic than that.
It doesn't. And the way I talk about it, like when I talk to CEOs, they're receiving hundreds of outbound messages a week, some a day. And when I ask them, okay, how many of these are a creative drop? How many of these are like a video message, right?
How are you catching the attention?
Zero.
I love it that you're bringing this up, because I can't tell you how many clients I've gotten by doing a direct video through Instagram, because they cannot believe that you're willing to put yourself in front of the camera and say, hi, I'm Trey. I just love what you do. I'd love to work with you.
And
do
it's
you,
not scalable, which you, people love too.
Do you leverage other social media platforms or just LinkedIn?
Just LinkedIn.
Okay.
Smart.
Great example. So Adrian, who's like her title CEO for Too Tall Benefits, if you open her LinkedIn and the amount of ping, 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 it's like she won't even open it half the time. Depending on a role too, like what does your title say on LinkedIn? There's just, I think, better tactics. I love what 100%. You're doing. A musician also.
Yeah.
How many instruments?
Seven.
Seven.
Wow.
Fire them off. Guitar for sure.
Sorry. Guitar, piano, bass, drums, mandolin, banjo, upright dulcimer.
He's smart.
He's cool as hell, too.
Well, anyone that plays piano, too, is typically very intelligent. And he went to Georgia Tech.
Your word's not mine.
Yeah, he's a smart guy.
We love to compliment our guests. We'll break you down, too, though, if you want.
All right.
We're not there yet. So, again, we're talking about content, putting yourself out there. You've made musical content online. What's the feedback and engagement?
Yeah, so like everything, if I post a video of me playing the guitar online, some people love it. A lot of people love to get in my DMs and tell me how much they hate it. But one of the things I love about authentic content, like my music stuff, is that it's polarizing on purpose. Like I'm disqualifying people that I don't want to work with. Like we talked about, me and you don't like to wear suits unless we really have to. Like,
I got a sports coat on. I got this from the thrift store.
I mean, you look like you're ready to go to visit the White House or something.
Yeah.
But like, if you don't like my music content, if you don't like my stupid content, if you don't like my dumb tattoos, like my dog wearing a taco, you're not going to like,
pretty sweet,
you're not going to like how I coach go to market in sales, dude. So like, we shouldn't work together.
Man, there's so much to unpack here. One thing, this is the line that I don't even know when I said it. The more popular you get, the less popular you get. Right. So if you put yourself out there and content out there, it does not matter. There are people on LinkedIn land, it doesn't matter, who immediately don't like you without knowing a thing about you.
Yep.
But that's something when you're putting yourself out there, that's just a reality. The other thing you said, it eliminates, if this rubs you the wrong way, we probably shouldn't work together to begin with. I love that.
And it's not a big deal. Yep. It doesn't hurt my feelings. It'd be a bad experience for me and whoever that prospect is.
Can I ask, how old are you?
32.
32. How old are you?
38.
42. Harrison's 39. In the corner. How old are you? 32, right? So I would say 45 and younger. 25 and younger. Like, those are future business owners.
Yeah.
This is the generation. I'm not knocking 55, 65-year-olds, but they're all retiring, selling businesses. This is the world we live in. Accept it or don't. That's 100%. Just my opinion. What's a bad client? Like, if someone called you, Sims, I want to hire you to do this, and you meet them, have two or three conversations like, oh, hell no, I'm not.
Yeah, so two things.
I just found that funny. I'm sorry.
you know, you have those bad clients too.
Oh, my God, yeah. People I want to fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I have to fire clients sometimes to that end, but it's never a bad thing. But bad fit clients for me, one, people that just take themselves too seriously, right? Mm. No good for me. Two is folks that want to hire me to serve as a fractional chief revenue officer, build their go-to-market strategy at first, and then what they really want is Sims, the sales guy, to go sell on their behalf. And I just don't do that anymore, because if I did, I'd be way better off going to take a W-2 sales job, right?
Yep. So you started this officially, what, 2 months ago?
Yeah, went all in, I think, January 6th.
I love these. Go ahead, Trey.
No, that's awesome. Hell yeah.
We call it like burn the ships, right? Hey, man, this is plan B and C. It's like, no, burn the ship. Oh, look at this guy's got a tattoo of it.
Burn the ships, baby.
Yeah.
But you know the concept. It's like, you know what? You've created this online reputation in employee benefits, EB. That's next time we ask what EB is, which is a very stagnant, boring, not sexy. You've created this environment that I respect. I think is awesome. And some clients just aren't a fit for it.
Right. And it's taken me time to learn that, because I've been doing consulting off the side of my desk for 3 years, 4 years. But it's taken me time to learn, hey, I don't like to work with clients like this. And so when we find that out, we, you know, part ways amicably, and I try not to bring on another one that looks like that.
That's right. Don't burn bridges also. You can burn the ships, but don't burn bridges. So employee benefits specifically, you've been in the industry in some capacity for how long?
10 years.
10 years. What are some things you hate about the industry? It's probably a lot, by the way.
Yeah, there's a lot, but it comes down to me, misaligned incentives and lack of transparency, right? Mm. So I've worked on the big carrier side in underwriting. I know what loss ratios look like. I've worked for technology companies, engagement companies, enrollment firms, pre-seed to Fortune 250, right? And I've seen a lot, but the two big things that we could fix is, hey, let's make sure that the employer, the policyholder, the person that's going to receive care or insurance, let's make sure the person providing that has incentives aligned to theirs. And then let's also just make sure we can all make a lot of money in this business. And I have no problem with that. I love it. But let's make sure we're honest about how we're making it.
Amen. That's the transparency part, right?
There
is so much money going around in insurance. You guys know, I'm pointing over here at Harrison and Trey, but... There is a lot of money to be made, but not at the detriment of the consumer, that
right.
individual person. Like, it makes no sense that if your costs go up because of the cost of healthcare and insurance, that I make more money because
right.
your costs go up. That's the biggest thing that rubs me the wrong way, and it goes back to transparency. What do you love about the industry? That's tough.
It is and it isn't. So I love that there is. There is a small group of clinicians and consultants and folks like us who see a better path to make this industry work for people. So I love that. I love that we can help employers take care of their employees the right way when they want to listen. And I love that we're starting to push back toward like holistic wellness
yep.
as the first step of having a healthy, engaged workforce instead of just focusing on, hey, let's drown all of our employees with a million insurance products, and that's how we'll make them healthy.
And check the other thing too, when you go see a physician or let's say ER or whatever, let's make sure we check all the boxes and click all the CPT codes, which increases our reimbursement rate.
Yeah.
You get it. You know, I say this sometimes too. I think the number one way to fight rising healthcare costs is to take care of yourself as much as possible.
Yeah.
You don't need it. Can you talk about that? Like, you've been on quite the health journey personally.
Yeah, dude. So I'm pharmaceutical free as of October, November of last year, after having been on antidepressants or some form of pharmaceuticals for about 15 years. And the way that I made that change was actually by leaving primary care physicians that are owned by hospital systems and moving to a direct primary care.
DPC.
The first thing I did when I sat down with my DPC is I said, look, I don't know how long it's going to take us to get there, but I want to live a pharmaceutical-free life. Can you help me do that? And she said, absolutely, I'll help you do that.
This is in your area.
Yep.
They're popping up everywhere. I think it's great. Some, again, they're not all perfect. It's like anything.
Sure.
But you said there versus if you go to your primary care physician tied to X large hospital system, walk in, get your vitals, click, 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 click. What's wrong? Okay, what do you need? All right, here's your 4 or 5 pills. 7 minutes, I'm out.
And that's what it was, man. So I originally wanted to get off of antidepressants when my first son was born, a little over 3 years ago. Tried to taper down, had some really bad mental health consequences, had to go back on, and my big box primary care doctor at the time was like, see, this is why I didn't want you to do this, right?
Did you quit cold turkey? That was the consequences, or you tapered down?
I tapered down, but it's like when you get down to zero, not everybody understands how horrible the withdrawals are. And, you know, I've gotten clean from cocaine and opioids and all kinds of stuff, and nothing beats trying to get off of antidepressants, how badly they hurt you, how much they make you think thoughts you don't want to think, make you want to do things you shouldn't do, right? But her solution, when I told her I wanted to get off again, was to prescribe me an amphetamine, because I told her that the reason I want to get off made me a zombie, made me too sleepy, and I wanted to be active and alert around my kids.
So keep taking this pill, but also take this Adderall
dude.
Or Ritalin.
Yes, dude.
That's, oh my gosh. Legal drug dealers. Yikes. So you were pharmaceutical free as of, you said, October of last year?
Yeah,
November?
October or November.
Congrats. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Do you dabble in other pharmaceuticals? I like to talk about this openly.
So I don't dabble in pharmaceuticals, but I'm a big believer in plant medicine. So.
Okay. That's the term I was looking for. Plant medicine.
I've got I live with complex PTSD, some bad stuff that happened to me when I was a kid. And I also have a chronic back injury from agriculture work, which is what I did before I got into EB. so I use cannabis and I use psilocybin mushrooms in a variety of different ways to manage chronic pain as well as my mental health.
We had talked about this in the car ride here. Chime in if you want.
Oh, yeah.
Again, the world is changing
mm-hmm.
fast. I would argue for the better. Oh, my gosh, doom and gloom. Watch the news. No. Legal marijuana, and I would argue psilocybin, has been around a long time, mm-hmm. medically proven. For whatever reason, it got the rap it did. I'm on board for it. That's the point I'm making. Agree or disagree, Trey?
Oh, I agree, but I also agree, I'm in the mindset of just like, let people do what they want to do and experiment, you know, as long as you're willing to accept the consequences that come with it.
But, 100%.
So I'm all about it.
And for me, I just feel better about using a plant that grows in the ground all by itself than I do about taking a pill every day.
Or booze, man. We talk about this too. There's no hangovers. Oh, jeez.
Booze
topic
is a tough one. Booze.
I do. I still drink beer. I try to limit liquor, but like I don't care. 42. If I have three beers or 15,
yeah.
Like I feel like crap the next day, man.
Yeah, I can't do it, dude. It's been 6.5 years for
good
me
for you,
since
man.
My last one.
Nice.
But I was the guy that I've never had three beers.
You're like night. You're like 30. Yeah. You and I. Hey, let me tell you what. 10 years ago, you and I would have gotten a lot of trouble.
Man. We would have been hell on
not
a bar,
healthy.
Man.
Hashtag not
I'd
healthy.
I'd hate to have been a cold beer around us.
Yes.
Man.
Oh my goodness, that's dangerous. So we'll go back to, I do want to talk about Red Flag Hero too.
Yeah.
We love shout outs, name drops. Like we had mentioned Tiffany Ryder.
Yeah.
Never met her. Love the stuff she puts out. She was an ED physician or PA.
Yeah. So she was a cheerleader for the Redskins.
That's
and
right.
then became.
The Washington Commanders.
Yes.
I'm kidding.
But it was back when they were
football
the Skins.
Team.
Okay. The Washington football team.
Yeah.
And then she became an ER PA and she burned out.
She
that
got
job.
How can you not?
Yeah. From the story she's told me, I'm surprised she lasted as long as she did. And then she went on this journey to, like, she paid a bunch of money to a bunch of people to learn how to write, create content on the internet. And that's how she started popping up in our world. And that's how I got introduced to her.
Yeah. So I worked in the ER downtown in Jacksonville here as a nurse, worked in the fire department. Like, good luck not getting burnout working in the emergency setting, just the way that the healthcare system is built today. So again, we love shout outs. Tiffany Ryder, who I've never met. I think she puts out great stuff. What is Red Flag Hero?
Yeah. So Red Flag Hero started as Tiffany's like tell all Substack blog to like alert people to the misaligned incentives, to the bad things that are happening, to the reasons that physicians and clinicians leaving the healthcare field in droves, right? And what it has evolved into is two things. One, Tiffany and I do like outsource social media content where we're the actors, where we create the content, post it on your behalf. And then a new offering that we've just started is that we've got our own camera crew, film crew. We're going to fly in to different cities around the country, grab a studio, bring in executives who don't have time to create their own content. Yep. Interview them, ghostwrite content for them, and let them walk away with about 3 months of long-form text, short-form text, short-form video content that they can post on LinkedIn.
That's pretty cool, man. That's the world we live in, I think.
Oh, totally. I know guys doing it all over the country. If anything, the interesting part is how small the crew sizes have gotten.
Yeah.
And how you can actually get the budgets low enough that you can start getting people to buy into it more and more.
Yeah, 100%. Because we're talking about with the cost we have, like I can get you in the studio out with your 3 months of content for $15,000, $20,000.
That's super reasonable.
Yeah.
That would have cost hundreds of thousands, I don't know, probably 10 years ago.
And imagine just the time cost to try to like learn how to do this stuff. Because it's taken me almost 5 years like really know what I'm doing.
I still don't know what I'm doing, by the way. That's what we say all the time.
How often would you go out to a project, film a package, and then does the content ever become stale in y'all's industry, or it's not, the industry's not moving quick enough? And I used to do political stuff.
Yeah.
It's like stuff would become stale like 2 days later.
I think it depends on the people. Like the concepts we're talking about, even direct primary care, like the number of direct primary care led employer health care plans in the country is not large.
Okay.
Like we're still on the front end of a lot of this like innovative stuff, which is really just us going back to the way we used to do things years and years and years ago. So I think that a lot of the content has staying power, at least for like a year.
Sure.
But you can't capitalize on other social media trends that we steal from like TikTok and bring to LinkedIn. Those are the things you miss out on.
Go ahead.
This might be a question I always ask Eric. How far is LinkedIn away from like becoming almost a video platform? I know it's becoming that, but more of where like they will pay to have people have a LinkedIn podcast, or they will pay to just, we want you just to have content for LinkedIn. Is that something you see in the future?
I think we're still pretty far away from like a creator fund.
Gotcha.
Type of deal. We're just now seeing the first
wave.
Like wave of D2C,
like
influencer partnerships.
Yeah.
Because still for me, like my influencer partnerships, their employee benefits and healthcare brands that I've worked with or that I know that pay me to ghostwrite a post for them, right? It's like the only person I know that is sponsored by a D2C brand is my homie Darren McKee.
Shout out Darren.
Yeah.
LinkedIn goat, 150,000 followers, huge. Damn. He did a partnership with Mizzen and Main a few years ago, but he's the only one in existence that I'm aware of. But for brands that are willing, I think, to take that leap, we're on the front end of that.
Totally. We got about, I'm looking here, 2 minutes of commercial break, but like TikTok exploded. They're paying content creators, right? It's quick hits. Instagram, they always change. Facebook and Instagram always change. LinkedIn, to me, I would argue is the most professional of social media platforms.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it is still a social media platform, depending on how you use it. But it's coming, man. If you scroll LinkedIn right now, you're going to see 25% videos on your thread.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Yeah. I definitely do too. And I dig it because I think that video is, and this is going away quick, but video is the only safe place where I know you didn't create your content with AI if it's unpolished enough.
It's getting close, dude.
That's
I saw a video the other day where I'm like, come on, this is where we're at with AI.
That's a great topic, second half. We love shout outs. So hi, mom, I love you.
Shout out, mom.
Shout out to anyone. Business partners, family.
Yeah, for sure. I shouted out my business partner, Tiffany, but I'll shout out my old lady, Brianne.
My old lady.
And my boys, Jack and George. Yeah.
What other industry experts, I think of Spencer Smith. Spence is the homie, man. Yeah, he puts out the best stuff. So smart. Who else are people you're like, man, you need to follow this person. They put out great stuff.
Yeah, I mean.
Seems Tillerson, by the way. Put him on your list.
Spence, for sure. My buddy Chris Hamilton runs the practice over at Hotchkiss is great. Emma Fox, David Contorno, doing some really good stuff. Amanda Vollner's creating a lot of really interesting content now. So there are a lot of people that are starting to grab onto this idea.
Chris Hamilton, by the way, has been on this show 2 months before Trey started. We got to get him back out here.
Just
great information, but he's in the EB world, by the way. You got something to add before we wrap it up?
Absolutely not.
That's what the hell just happened! Welcome back to the second half of What the Health Just Happened. If you're here on the radio show, good news, you can catch the full episode on your favorite podcast or YouTube under What the Health Just Happened. We have Sims Tillerson, who flew in town from South Carolina, by the way, founder of Tillerson Consulting Group. We talked about that first half. Maybe we'll hit it second half. Part of Red Flag Hero, works in the most sexy, exciting industry in the world, employee benefits.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I've got to
say. That's the short.
I've got to say that tagline you said. Okay. Again, blast first half. The fact that you came in town for this, we're honored. I knew we hit it off. I wanted to pick you up from the airport to get that hang time. So,
yeah, my wife just needed a night alone. So
that's
here
it.
I am.
You're good, man. You wanted that hotel room by yourself, no kids. Okay. So healthy or not healthy, you understand the concept.
Yep, I'm with you.
Healthy or not healthy, having a hotel room by yourself without children?
Healthy.
Okay. Healthy or not healthy, tattoos?
Healthy.
Healthy or not healthy, chugging an entire can of sparkling water?
Not healthy, dude.
I kind of want to try that, by the way. Healthy or not healthy, custom Nikes?
Super healthy.
What's your boy's name?
Matt Williams with discomfort.
You kick him up on the table?
Oh, yeah. Let's do it. Dude, these are sick.
Here, put them in the shot.
We'll get a screenshot. Yeah. This is good on the air.
See, can you see that?
Hey, we love shout outs.
A little bit more. There we are. So, right. Got it.
Joey Jansen is in his office designing shoes. Here's my custom boot right now.
Hey, you can't even get... Well, you can't
okay,
get
so
those.
Custom shoes, healthy. Your buddy makes those. We might go back to that. Healthy or not healthy, alcohol?
Not healthy.
Healthy or not healthy, microdosing?
Healthy.
Healthy or not healthy, bachelor parties in Jack's Beach?
Healthy.
So his brother works in our industry, does all the event planning with True.
Okay.
They had their bachelor party in Jack's Beach, I guess it's been a couple years.
Yeah, been a couple years.
Where'd you guys go? Obviously, Lynch's.
We met them. I tried to set them up to see a couple bands and stuff. They had a beach day. I think they did all right.
We rented like this really big, badass like mansion place.
Sweet house, yeah.
And mostly just kicked it there, but when we came down and hung with you guys at that bar, that was pretty sweet.
We came and met them at a spot. I don't even remember. Jekyll Brewing or something.
All right.
Let's see here. So, good dad or bad dad? You got any ideas?
I don't.
Good dad or bad dad getting tattoos?
Good dad.
I like tattoos also. Good dad or bad dad? I love this one. He told me this story. Driving from South Carolina to Orlando with your mother-in-law in the back seat and a kid having a blowout in their diaper.
Bad dad.
You ever had a diaper blowout?
Come on. Millions.
How do you react?
Millions.
Yeah.
How do I react? I freak out. Thank God for my wife.
Do you change diapers?
I do, just not complete blowouts in the car.
Yeah.
It's too much for me.
This one was gnarly.
We have a close friend, you know his name. He never changed a diaper. He has three kids, and they're all out of diapers.
Bad
he
dad.
Never changed.
Bad dad.
Bad dad.
Yeah.
Good dad or bad dad?
Bad dad.
For your wife.
Come on. Gosh, you got to do that for your wife.
You got to help with the dishes, like the pumping stuff, make the
all
bottles.
Right, now that you brought it up, I swear that turns, my wife's told me it turns her on whenever I do dishes or like laundry.
Good dad. Good dad.
Good dad. Good dad. Good dad. Now we can just start a chant. Oh my gosh.
All right. Anyways.
Hey, this is going to get, I don't want it to get too weird, but screw it. Let's do
whatever.
It. The things your wife says, like that turns her on. You know what my wife has said flat out? Like I get more attracted to you when you're a good dad. So when I'm coaching their sports, playing outside,
totally.
Right? And is it the same for you? It's the same for me. When I like walk in and see a sweet moment between my wife and my kids, it doesn't like,
yes,
it doesn't like turn me on, but
good mama, good mama.
Yeah. I'm just
come
like,
on, come on. Yeah.
That's true.
That's awesome.
It's true,
that's,
man.
Again, that's healthy.
That's healthy.
That's hashtag healthy, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm wearing that shirt. I almost was going to say, what else turned your wife on? But that would have been...
I mean, where do I start?
The list is so long.
When I shut my mouth.
That is a great... Let's do that.
Good dad.
What drives your wives insane?
When I'm not nice to the kids.
Not nice to the kids?
Yeah, so bad dad.
When he's a bad dad.
Yeah, bad dad.
That's, man, good dad, bad dad might be a new thing.
Possibly. I think it should be.
I like the healthy or not healthy. We can't do good husband or bad husband. That's too many
words. Gosh, no. Throw too many people under the bus.
My old lady gets really mad. We play in the yard with the water a lot because it's warm in South Carolina like it is here. If I spray her with the hose.
She doesn't like that?
Yeah, even if it's like a flirty little,
Yeah.
Fair enough.
She's not about it.
Are you a work from home guy?
Yeah.
So you get to spend a lot of time with the kids, right?
I spend a pretty incredible amount of time with my kids. So I get the kids up at 7. My wife and I kick it with them. Take my son to school at 9. I come back and start my work day around 9:30. My youngest will be at the house. I'll see him between 9:30 and noon. At noon, I go pick my son up from school and we have lunch together.
Good dad.
Good dad.
Good dad.
Good dad.
It's just, that's the beauty of me owning my own business now, is that I can build my day like that. But yeah, I think my wife and I probably spend an extra 20 to 30 hours a week with our kids compared to people that go into an office.
Hashtag healthy. I heard a stat the other day that parents only spend 33 minutes a day, like, in full contact with their kids.
That sounds right. Like, I mean, is that relevant to, like,
I was going to say the problem is phones. Like,
that's what they're, but it's like eye to eye, no phone, 30 minutes a day is all an average kid's
getting. And that's tough. We've had the, like, my wife and I have to hold each other accountable on this, like, to put our phones away after work.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard of the Brick?
Yes.
Have you ordered one?
I've never ordered
one. I just ordered one yesterday. So if I get a Brick and I put the, I attach my phone to it, my phone will only work in this office for, like, social media. You can still do email and text, but it blocks everything unless you go in that room and are attached to the Brick. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting
out
for the
Brick
office. Yeah. I just ordered two of them a couple days
ago. Let me know how you like it.
I think it probably. Do you see my phone? Like, this is a mess.
I think it probably helped me because I struggle to turn it off when I come out of my office.
Same.
So I have started, like, when I'm done, I'll just leave my phone in my office. And like, until the kids are asleep.
You're also kicking out content. You got to respond to messages.
Yeah.
That's part of your job, which is tough. My kids, again, are 6, 8, and 10. I ask them, like, tell me if I don't realize it, because it happens.
Yeah.
My daughter's like, Daddy, you're staring at your phone. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, I just.
While on the toilet, you know, for 30 minutes.
Hopefully she's not walking on that. Bad dad.
Bad dad. Hey, random question. Would you say you're completely self-taught in regards to, like, the content creation space?
I don't think any of us are, man.
Okay.
Like, I came up with Spencer under kind of the wing of, like, Andy Neary early.
Yep.
And
Andy's great too.
Andy's great.
Shout out, Andy.
So these are guys in our industry that I would put, like, they're in a tier of their own.
Okay.
You, Spencer, yeah. Andy, Chris Hamilton. Continue.
But Andy was, like, one of the original dudes that did that. So I came under him a little bit, but, like, I don't create content like Andy anymore, right? Like, we all have our different flavors, but I pick and pull things I like from other creators, from other platforms, from, like, my time being a musician. Like, so I guess I am self-taught, but I think if I didn't have access to see other people's content, like, my content would be horrible.
Oh, I'm consuming everybody's content to see what they're doing.
100%.
Different.
Ooh, that's good. Let me replicate that.
Absolutely.
Ooh, that's entertaining. Let's call it how it is. People who are scared to put themselves out there, which to me, I'm like, just hit the post button. It's not going to be flawless. How sloppy was your stuff when you first started?
Dude, so bad.
Trash.
So bad.
My stuff's still trash.
I'm glad, you know. Does Facebook still do the, like, time capsule stuff where it shows you posts you made?
Yeah, hashtag not healthy when it's, like, exes and, like, memories that they should be promoting to you.
So, like, I'm really glad LinkedIn doesn't do that so that I can't see my garbage content from 4 years ago. CEO is going to hear this and be like,
good point, man. More engagement.
But do you ever replicate, if a post hits on LinkedIn, are you like, I'm going to repost this?
100%.
Yeah. But then you see metrics, you can see it posted. Go ahead, Trey.
Was it Randy with PB and Jax or whatnot? Randall Thompson, yeah.
Old Dirty Randy.
Thomas.
So you know what I mean?
No.
Random question, but, like, when you're posting on LinkedIn, he mentioned, like, if you're actually posting an article, it's like, write your caption or whatnot, but then post the article down in the comments section. Is that something that you think results in more, like, engagement or a better chance on LinkedIn?
So there's been big discussions about this for a couple of years about, does posting a link in my post hurt my engagement? So I've had creators way bigger than me test the theory, and it's been debunked.
Oh, really?
So what we've all got to think about is two things. One, even when we're posting a link, we have to write a good hook. We have to write good stories that
hooks
people
matter.
Want,
all hooks matter.
That people want to read. We don't always do that. And the second thing is, when you post a link off-site, your dwell time is already, it's going to be lower. Your impressions, all of your numbers are going to be lower because you're sending somebody off-site. It's not LinkedIn punishing you. It's people aren't sitting on your post because they're going to a different site.
Another random question for you. Do you do most of your LinkedIn on your phone or on your computer?
On my phone.
Interesting.
100% on your phone.
Okay.
I'll do, like, a little bit on the computer, just, like, when I'm working, if I go check. But, like, I create 99% of my content, including my video content, on my phone.
The video content for sure. Other than the show, it's all cell phone.
And so everything that you're creating is vertical. No reason to even go in. Okay.
Healthy or not healthy, social media platforms.
Not healthy, man.
I'm going not healthy. I can't. It's people want to distribute. I'm getting there. I'm going to argue the other side there. LinkedIn, healthy or not healthy?
I mean, not healthy just by itself, I don't think. I'm one of those guys that, like, the reason I don't have any other social media is because I'll sit on TikTok for 4 hours.
Yeah.
And get nothing
done. Videos.
And at least on LinkedIn, I'm, like, prospecting and making money. And I feel okay about that.
That's my theory on social media. If I have TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, like, I want to get rid of all of them. It's a me problem. Mm-hmm. It's not the social media. Like, yeah. I'm going to watch dumb golf videos, people falling, like, stupid.
So true.
Cat videos, insert whatever it is for you, right? Oh, check out this sweet tattoo. It doesn't matter. That's a me problem.
Yeah.
If it's not driving engagement, again, whether it's the show or your business, like, that's a waste of time. This is strictly my opinion. But you have to understand, if you're doing this stuff just to get likes, followers, and impressions, I think you're doing it the wrong way, which you do not do, right? You're social selling. You're putting stuff out there to, like, it's not to be famous. It's not to get likes and followers.
No.
Yep.
And I won't.
That's healthy.
I won't ever get famous on LinkedIn. I'm niched down in employee benefits. Like, oh my God. How could I be more boring? But it's
you're not boring. That's why people like you.
But I don't need I've made viral posts before and they're cool and they feel good. But guess how much money the post that does 500,000 impressions makes me?
$0.
$0. It's the highly relevant post that gets 30 likes and 5 comments that I get 10 DMs that are like, hey, Sims, I need to pay you some money right now to work with you.
People need to understand that. Right, you can have 500,000 impressions and 250 likes. It doesn't matter. Versus another post that gets 5 engagements and they call you up and say, "Trey, I want to hire you to do camera work." That's like you or I want to hire Tillerson Consulting Group. That's not everyone thinks that way or agrees with it. So I can't remember who told me this line. I love it. Being popular doesn't pay the bills.
It doesn't, man. It doesn't. There's a big creator. He's influencer level, hilarious. John Kraske, he's from LA that I'm connected with, but he always makes hilarious posts about, like, hey, I just made this post that got 1 million impressions and so happy to know that Amex now takes impressions to pay my credit card bill.
Hey, I love it. I'll give him credit, but I'm stealing that. Again, I go back to just post. You're not going to be good. It's not going to all hit. It's not going to be relevant. This is for people that are comfortable doing it and want to do it. Just hit the post button.
Yeah, dude. And good news is when you start, your stuff is going to be trash, but nobody's going to see it anyway. It doesn't matter.
Yep. What do you hate doing about that? Anything?
Yeah. So I love creating content. I love writing. I always thought that I was going to be a writer, like, professionally, and now I guess I kind of am a little bit. It just looks different. So I enjoy that. I love building real connections with people and, like, taking those off LinkedIn. But the negative side of it is I do feel like I'm always on to an extent because people stay commenting on my stuff. Like, I don't stop commenting on my stuff at 5 p.m. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Maybe they should have a feature for that where it just, like, kind of cues it until you wake up in the morning.
Auto reply after 5 p.m.
I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, turning it off for sure. I'll tell you personally, I just hate distributing content. I like LinkedIn. I learn from it. I read a bunch. That's the one platform I think I use. But if I could delete Instagram and Facebook off my phone tomorrow, I'll do it.
You could.
I mean, Facebook's deleted for sure. I just still have Instagram. Because again, I love those damn cat videos, man.
Yeah.
I hate cats, by the way. I should mention that. So what... Yeah, I told you we go off the rails
just
here.
Just cat videos.
Let's see. We got 10 minutes left. We could probably go longer too, but what are you most excited for? Which is a broad question.
Yeah.
6 months, year, other than a tattoo in the future.
Yeah, I hope I can squeeze one of those in tonight for real. But what I'm most excited about is leveraging Tillerson Consulting Group to build the life I want. Because I'm not chained to, like, trying to climb a corporate ladder anymore, right? And I only need to make so much money. So I'm trying to build a life where, you know, I work 20, 30 hours a week, kick it with my kids, go take off a Friday to go get a tattoo all day if that's what I want to do. So I'm excited about about building like a business that fits into my ideal life, if you will.
That's, again, I think it's a generational thing. Money matters, right? You got bills to pay. I always think I got to buy cars for my kids. I got a daughter. We're going to have a wedding. I got college. Mathematically, do all three go to college? Probably not. But
yeah, you better hope not.
But at what cost, right? Yeah. At what cost is money that important to where you're just miserable?
Or just not around or not there to enjoy your life.
I said, I feel bad. I'm jetting out of here, but I'm coaching my son's baseball game tonight. I can't
and that's
wait.
Awesome.
I cannot wait for that.
Good dad.
Good dad.
Good dad.
Trey, you want to share your thoughts on youth baseball?
Man, my son's getting dominated in youth baseball, dude. But Eric said, you kind of went through this with your son.
How old's your son?
He's in, so he's 7, playing U8.
You can probably put him on HGH at this point.
Yeah, that's right. Put him on that sauce, dude.
All right, gotta go. No, I mean, baseball is fun. It's just hilarious. They're doing machine pitch.
Yeah.
So all these kids are learning that for the first time, but man, we're getting destroyed.
It is very tough. And again, whether your kids play sports or music, as adults, we're like, man, this kid's got, he's got to be better. And it took me the first season I coached something. I'm like, dude, these kids are 5 years old. And there's a lot of parents out there that are nuts, like absolutely crazy. But you got to realize like the chances of your kid going pro, less than 1%, less than half of 1%, right? And they're kids.
Well, and as long as they're having fun at the root of it, it's like, all right, they're having fun.
Good no, death. Sir, yeah. We will win good at death. All costs.
Oh, these other teams, that's how they were. Yeah. And they were winning.
Now, again, you see it, youth sports. I would say youth sports right now is not healthy, by the way.
Yeah.
Parents specializing year-round in one sport, traveling year-round. Like, I don't know.
Are
like learning
kids,
multiple
Are your kids playing sports yet? Are they old?
Not yet.
Okay. But I imagine you'll have them playing sports?
Yeah, we'll have them playing sports. We're going to have them playing music. And then we're going to have them just doing whatever. What they pick.
Correct.
What they want to do.
Correct.
Do you come from a family of entrepreneurs or are you the first one?
I am like the first one. So my dad is the CEO of a really big company in Georgia. He rose up the ranks from marketing manager to do that.
Big company.
Yeah, about 1,000 employees.
Wow.
So he
who does their benefits? I'm kidding. I love asking that.
It's actually USI now. but like, so his view is colored by his experience, right? He's like, I worked my ass off and came from the bottom, and now I'm running the show. And he imparted that type of wisdom on me early in my career, and that's what I started trying to do. But I don't believe that any job is safe. I do not believe any job is safe. And, you know, I've been burned before. I've burned myself before. And I just decided that I would rather be in control of my own destiny. Plus, I'm super hard to manage, man. Can you imagine?
You and I could not work together. There's no chance.
Just zero work.
Yeah. It would be
zero work, sir.
Lots of fun.
Not healthy. What anything that scares you, like I'll tell you my fears about work professionally parenting, but like that's you're going all in. What scares you? What keeps you up at night?
So when I got started, and I know it's not been that long, but I was just I got the yips is what I called it. Like my shit wasn't hitting, my prospecting was not working, and I was like, oh man.
You were shanking the golf ball.
Like
man.
This doesn't work and oh, the whole stuff I teach is how I sell and it doesn't work. And so I'm not going to make any money. Obviously, that's not what has been happening. I do have fear that like the pipe will eventually run dry. Like how many more brokerages, how many more companies are going to pop up that don't know how to sell into the EB space? That's probably not true either. But I'll tell you that I made a really simple shift in the business recently that's helped me with that. And that's instead of focusing on my annually recurring revenue, that I only look at my business in chunks of 1 month. So I'm not really thinking far enough ahead to be afraid that I'm going to fail.
Okay. That's interesting, right? And I think that goes back to solopreneurship too. When you have a business, you got to look at annual recurring revenue, yep. All those things. You're going month to month.
Yeah, because I pay me. You know, I have expenses in the form of software and like flying down here and stuff, but I'm in complete control of all that. I don't have to worry about making payroll like I've had to do in some startups where I was a partner before. That is real stress when you have another person's livelihood at stake. But I don't have that anymore. And by the way, I'm not going to scale my business. I don't want to.
What? Go ahead, Trey.
I love hearing you say this. Yep. So I'm in a very similar situation to you. I'm the overhead. That is it.
Yeah.
And my wife likes to ask, what does this look like 10 years from now? And it's just interesting because I'm going to only hire freelancers. So like I could probably actually grow a big company without even actually having to have any employees in a sense. So, and I imagine maybe you're in the same boat where like the sky's the limit, but at the same time, the overhead's so low that it can kind of bring the stress levels down.
Yeah. I mean, Eric and I were talking about this. I had a job a few years ago where I found my line of like more money doesn't matter to me anymore because I made a bunch more than I needed and it didn't make me feel markedly better, right? So I know my number that if I hit it, we can live a super comfortable life. It's really feasible.
Amen yeah. to that.
And I'm just not, I don't need to build a huge enterprise. I have a bunch of people working for me. I didn't start my business for that. I started my business so I could control my life.
So you could pick your kids up from school.
Exactly.
So you can have lunch. So you could watch cat videos if you want.
So I can watch cat videos if I want. Because like I said, I don't enjoy working. Like it is what it is.
I don't like to work.
I don't.
I mean, I'll second that. The other thing, this is sometimes I try to look at certain perspectives. Like I like to ask, what's the worst that could happen?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, minus we talk about death and losing people yeah. on the car ride. I can get hit by a bus on the ride home.
100%.
But when it comes to profession, that's the one reason I keep my nursing license up. If all of this hits the fan and shuts down tomorrow, I still have a backup plan.
Yeah.
What you're doing now, like, you're not going to get a second chance to do this.
No.
And let's say, God forbid, which it won't, this guy's going to crush it. It doesn't work out. You have 10 landing grounds afterwards.
Yes. Yeah. Like I still am a sales guy. I still know how to sell.
Yep.
And I can go get a W-2 doing that.
Don't do it.
If everything hits the fan, I will not do it unless I absolutely have to. But the way things are going, the way the industry has shown up for me and rallied around yep. me, we're in good shape.
Now, again, I can't, dude, you flew down for this. We've had a couple of people come in town, including your brother, by the way.
Shout out Joel Barrett.
Shout out Joel. That's right.
Joel.
That was before the cameras, by the way. Any other shout outs, anything you want to hit before we wrap it up? That's the hardest part is when we run out of time.
Hi, man. This has been a blast. I think we've hit
yeah.
everything I wanted to
check
out.
Good times for sure. Sims Tillerson, Tillerson Consulting Group. Check them out. Trust me. Definitely the EB space that stands for.
Employee benefits.
There you go, Trey. Got it. I imagine you'll probably start picking up other clients outside of EB, by the way. I really think that.
Yeah, so I'm doing a little work in the QA space for IT. I've worked with some CPG companies, and yep. I've also worked in some blue-collar industries as well.
Sky's the limit, brother.
Yeah.
Sims Tillerson, that's what the hell just happened!